Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We are starting a new topic in the book of Proverbs tonight. We have talked about the actual book of Proverbs and what Proverbs are and how to study them. We've talked about characteristics of a fool. We've talked about characteristics of a wise person. We've talked about friendship. Tonight, we're going to start talking about the actual word wisdom. And wisdom in the book of Proverbs, it's different than a person necessarily with character traits. This is wisdom in a different light, so to speak. But Proverbs is a book. If there was a... And everybody listen to me on this one, and don't get your pens out to crucify me yet. But I'm not real big on saying, well, this book has this theme, and this book has this theme. That's man-made, just so you know. But I would say this, the most common theme in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. It is a book about wisdom. Let me start by saying this. We live in a very foolish world today.
Yes, sir.
A world that calls right wrong and wrong right. A world that wants freedom to do whatever they want unless someone has what you want or has more than what you have. A world where all freedom, there's all the freedom in the world of religion unless it's Christianity. Then you're the bad guy. We live in a world that, I thought this was funny, we live in a world that can gender animals, but they don't know what bathroom to use. We live in a world that has murdered 65 million babies in the United States illegally and let booze kill people by the tens of thousands every year and promote sodomy, but living by the Bible is radical in imposing on their rights. We live in a world that thinks evolution is science, but evolution breaks every law of science. Folks, one of the definitions, one of the parts of what the definition of science is that it takes observation. Did you know there's no observation of any change in evolution? Nobody's been here millions of years. There is no ability to call it a science. And yet we have accepted it as a science. Everybody doing okay? We live in a world of global warming alarmists, but only computer projections are the basis for it. There is no factual proof to it. If you listen carefully to what they say, well, the computer model says, everything is based on computer models. Can I tell you something? A computer model can only do what the programmer tells it to do. We live in a green earth movement that legalizes pot and makes straws illegal. We live in a foolish world. Good night. I gotta hurry. God wants us to be wise. James chapter 1 verse number 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God is willing to give wisdom if we ask for it. Now, listen to this statement. Wisdom is not just the knowledge of facts or truth. Wisdom is not a gathering of truthful things or right things. Wisdom is the right execution with the right knowledge or with the right facts and with the right truth. Wisdom isn't just the accumulation of knowledge, it's the ability to use the knowledge. We are in a dangerous spot in Christianity. We have churches who are educating people's brains, but they don't have any wisdom because they don't know how to use what they have. We're more interested in our seminars and our Bible studies that we throw up on a screen somewhere or hand out outlines so people have pretty outlines, but nobody goes out knocking on doors telling lost people how to get saved.
You're right.
We're more interested in educating people and turning the average church into a college seminary class than we are teaching practical things so the average person could go out and serve God and have wisdom. Knowing all the right things does not make one wise, because knowledge itself is not wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of the right knowledge at the right time with the right people, done the right way. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of folks out there having illegitimate babies. They know what to do, but they're not doing it wisely. Everybody doing okay? They got all the knowledge. They start teaching sex education in kindergarten these days. Sick. Now they're starting to teach gender neutrality. You don't know what you are yet, and anybody that tells you that you are what you are, they're the bad people. Yeah, indoctrination. Those are the people that call the president a Nazi, and they're using Nazi tactics. God gives us dozens of principles about wisdom here in the book of Proverbs. Now, listen to this very carefully, and then we're going to jump right into the study. God does not want us wandering in foolishness. God does not want his children wandering around in foolishness. That's why he said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." You see, he does not want us to be foolish like the world. I think it's foolish for the church to act like the world to attract the world. We don't need to be like the world to attract the church, to attract folks to the church. We don't need the rock music. We don't need the high-techy stuff. We don't need the floor shows. We don't need the wild music. We don't need the... I'm not going to come out in a turtleneck shirt with a Garth Brooks microphone and sit down on a chair and let's have a little talk with Jesus. There was a day when the man of God got up and preached and taught the word of God with authority. Not because he was something, but because this is something. It's about the word of God, not about the man. This is why, by the way, God gives us his word and the Holy Spirit wherewith for us to get wisdom. Now listen to this statement. This is why we don't need to rewrite God's words.
That's right.
New versions are man's words. Man's words are foolishness compared to God's words.
That's right.
The wrong Bible is foolishness to God. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Well, my Bible says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God." And in verse 14 in John chapter 1, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." You start messing with the Bible, you're messing with Jesus. He is the Word of God. So when you start rewriting Jesus, who is God, you're changing God, and man becomes God instead of God being God. Everybody doing okay? I threw my fit. I'm happy. All right, here we go. You say, "Preacher, what Bible do you use?" The same one that God wrote, the King James Bible. It is the Word of God to the English-speaking people. Period, end of discussion. You can take all the Greek you want. You can study all the Hebrew you want. I'll promise you, you hold in your hands a copy of the Word of God if you have a King James Bible. Word for word. Well, it was only inspired in the original documents. Nope. Folks, the word, I preached a whole sermon on this. The word inspire means breathed into. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. How many times did God have to breathe into man?
Once.
Guess what? He only had to breathe life into this book once, and he spoke the words. Did you know you can't speak without air? Did you ever fall out of a tree and lose all your air and you're going, you can't talk, there's no air. You know, say, "How do you know that, preacher?" Happened a lot of times. You ought to take a hot ground ball at third base in the diaphragm one time. You'll lay on the ground and cry like a little girl. You know, you can't get nothing out. You go, "Are you okay?" You know. when something is inspired, by the way, that first breath you take, you don't quit breathing till you die. It only takes that one breath to get everything going. And that is exactly what it is with the Word of God. God breathed it as He spoke it, and it's just as inspired today because it keeps living, it keeps breathing. Now, I'm going to start with the Bible study. That was all introduction. You ready? Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Number one, wisdom begins with fear. Wisdom begins with fear. Notice God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge and wisdom. Now watch this. Fear is the first motive for obedience. Fear is the first motive for obedience. When our kids were born, okay, all three of them are gone, so I can embarrass them. When my kids were born and they started getting around a little bit, you remember that stage where they start reaching for things and you say, don't do that. And if they did, what did you do? You kind of walked over and mommy's felt bad and daddy laughed. Okay? You hurt them. No, you hurt their pride. You didn't hurt them. I didn't baby-proof my house. I house-proofed my baby. We took a tour. I had one. Won't tell you which one it was. But you'll guess real quick, he was quite the stubborn one. And I remember one day we had about a 15-minute powwow. He'd reach for something. I said, don't do that. He reached for it, and I reached out, and he cried and pulled his hand back. I said, now that's no, don't touch that. And I don't know how many times I whapped that kid on the back of the hand. I mean, I was getting aggressive. It finally was, and I whack it again. I was stubborn, just like his mother. I mean, now wait a minute. Finally, he realized it's not worth it. I said, I got one more whack than you got reach. Trust me, son. Been at this a lot longer than you. Did he understand that? No, but he was afraid. It became a fearful thing then. When you train a puppy, you train them, and you train them, and you train them. There takes a little bit of fear. You know, if you start to, they got to know they're not supposed to use the bathroom in the house. So you might have to roll up a piece of newspaper and whap them or stick their nose in it and whap them or throw them in their kennel after you whapped them and give them a good talking to. You say, oh, you beat your dog. No, I didn't beat my dog. I just taught him how to use the bathroom because I didn't want to clean it up in the house. Right. Took about 3 or 4 days and she finally figured it out and on she went. Now we started walking her a little bit more without the leash. My wife's scared to death. Beagles have this reputation of just doing whatever they want to do. Not my dog. Not if I'm around. That dog knows what yeah means. I can do that and that dog's ears go down, head goes down, tail goes down, and she's like this. I've never even hit her that I know of. I'm not sure I've ever even really popped her one. But she can tell by the tone of my voice, not crossing that dude. Walked out one morning. First morning, I walked her out without a leash. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning. And sure enough, she's got to go. I got about 10 steps out the door, and a rabbit takes off. Do you know what that's like for a beagle? Instinct kicks in just like that. And it looked like a white streak of lightning going, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want to wake everybody up. You say, what did you do? I went, teacher, about that loud. That old dog, you could hear the grass going under her feet. I said, get back here. Just that loud. And she was probably 25, 30 yards away. I said, get over here. She come like this. You stand there and do your business. And she got going. She walked over. I said, come here. And I petted her on the head. I said, good job. You came. And sure enough, here come that rabbit again. Boom. I said, "Don't you?" And she went. Say, so what'd you do? Took her in the house and gave her a treat. She did well. Now, I didn't have to yell. She could tell by the intensity of the whisper. Now, if I had done, it's a good thing it was dark out, or I'd have hollered, because I was not going to chase that dog all over the neighborhood. Just pull the gun out and shoot it next time. Pow! We're done. But she came back. She did what she was told. Say, why? Fear. I never worry about it. I don't worry about it. Can I tell you something? You teach children the word no. Well, at least when we were parents, we taught our children what no meant. Matter of fact, we taught one of them so much that somebody bought him a shirt that said, "My name is No-No." First word he ever said was no, and he hasn't quit saying it yet. Our sinful nature will push boundaries until it pushes back strong enough to keep us from wanting to push again. Did you know you will push until somebody pushes back? A child will. They're just expounding. They're trying to figure out where the boundaries are. You do more damage by saying one more time, 30 times. And then the next time, they do it the first time, and you whomp them upside the head, and they wonder, what happened? I did it 30 times last time. And you wonder why there's confusion. Everybody doing okay? Teachers have no controls in classroom because there's no fear in the schools anymore. When I went to school, teachers still paddled students. Y'all remember those days? Ooh, buddy. I remember my first grade teacher, Dad, you'll remember her, Mrs. Eggensweiler. Eggensweiler. She was a German Catholic, and she was as big as her name. She was a big lady. And if you did something wrong, she had a wooden ruler that she would walk around, and she would put your hand out. She'd grab you by the fingers and she'd whack you on the palm of the hand with that ruler. Oh, my soul. And if that didn't work, she took her paddle out and took you out in the hallway and she paddled you. Now, I never got either one of them, just so you know. I was a good little kid. You say, why? Because I watched all kinds of people getting, I'm thinking, you ain't doing that to me. She must have gone to Catholic school or something, because, man, she had that old whack, whack, whack. I didn't want that. You know, Mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother. There's almost no consequence for doing wrong these days. The media is all up in arms because they found that young college student that was murdered in Iowa. A 24-year-old illegal immigrant killed her. And the press is all over this. Oh, this could be a lightning rod for immigration. It shouldn't be politicized this way. Why not? Elizabeth Warren, Democrat senator. Somebody asked her and said, what do you think about that situation in reference to immigration? She said, I think it's a shame that at the borders we're separating mamas and children. She wouldn't even answer the question. And somebody said to her, those children may be separated from their parents, but at least they get to be reunited. Molly's parents will never see her again. She said, that's not the issue. I didn't say it. She did. Look up the interview. You see, she's a fool. Fools hate wisdom because it sets hardened boundaries. Wisdom sets a boundary and says, stay inside. Fools don't like limitations. We're getting our new house built. My wife and I were talking. I don't really want to put a fence up, but I got to keep my dog in, so I'm putting an underground fence in. It's a little wire that you put around where you want the dog to stay in, and you put a collar on them, and if they get too close to it, it gives them a little jolt. And as much of a sissy as my dog is, she ain't going to go past that thing. We'll take a little walk on that thing. I'll walk her out to it, and it starts beeping before you get to the part. And she's going to hear that beep and wonder what's going on. I'm going to walk her a couple steps farther and let her see what happens. And I'll guarantee you, she's going to learn her borders real quick. Now, she might see the rabbit run, but don't think she's going to press that thing. You say, why? Because we will teach her wisdom of staying inside the border. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom sets hardened borders. Fools hate to obey. Remember I said at the very beginning, there are three types of people in the book of Proverbs. You have the simple person that doesn't know right from wrong. You have a wise person that knows what's right and wrong and chooses right. And you have the fool, they know what's right and wrong and choose wrong. So a fool chooses to do wrong. Fools don't want the restraint that comes with wisdom. Somebody preached a whole sermon on that recently. Fools don't want to restrain. Wisdom restrains. America is foolish in financially because there's no restraint. America is in debt so far, it's not even funny. I was listening to an old sermon by Brother Lester Roloff the other day. And he was all up in arms that America was $200 and some million in debt. $200 million was the national debt. And he said, we'll never pay this all back. I thought, Brother Roloff, we're $21 trillion in debt now. We are more than 1,000 times in debt over what it was then. Can you imagine what he would have thought then? So, wisdom begins with fear. Number two, look at Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Number two, wisdom wants to be wanted. Now you'll find out in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is often referred to as a she or a her in the feminine sense. And please, ladies, don't take offense at this. But God made a woman to be cherished. God made a lady to be something more special than a man. God made a lady to be put on a pedestal above man. It's not that a woman necessarily can't do everything a man can do, but she shouldn't have to because it's the man's job. Now, listen to this very carefully. Wisdom begs to be used. The word crieth there doesn't mean like you did when you watched a Hallmark movie. The word crieth there means to beg or to cry out or to call out loudly, to shout. Wisdom is begging to be wanted. It says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Can I tell you something? America is begging for wisdom. Anybody with half a brain is begging for the American government and American people to get some wisdom. I can't tell you I agree 100% with our president, but I agree with him 100% more than the last one.
Right.
He does have some sense. Say, do you agree with everything? I'm not going to agree with him on everything. But America is begging for wisdom. Churches are begging for wisdom. Please don't get me wrong. Our kind of church is not out there anymore. There's not a lot of them out there. We sing the old songs, and we're not changing that. We don't have the modern contemporary flair, thank God. We don't have the high-techy stuff. There's nothing sinful about technology, but when it replaces spirituality and takes away from the atmosphere of the church, it's wrong. Good night. You don't need 30-foot screens to see what I look like. the average TV show of a church in America today is watching the old codger sleep in the choir loft, and they're showing everybody in the auditorium snoozing as well. So, are you going to live stream on Facebook? No. Sorry. But so many more people, they need to go to church.
That's right.
They need to go to church. Well, what if they're traveling and out of town? Find a gospel church and get in it. I'm sorry, I'm just too old-fashioned. The world is begging for wisdom. You know, this old world's begging for the right answers. I got to hurry up here. Wisdom is ready to be used, but it has to be sought and used on purpose. It's not a gift that just comes to you. Can I tell you something? Wisdom is there, waiting and wanting to be used, but it's not going to come knocking on your door saying, "Here I am, just open it up, here it is." No, you got to go looking for it. It may come, according to the Bible, by reproof. Say, what's reproof? Let's put it in West Virginia terms. That's a kick in the britches. Reproof is you made a mistake. Wisdom is like my wife. She doesn't want me to love her just because I have to love her. She wants me to love her because I want to love her. Does that make sense to everybody? My wife does not want me to love her just because I'm her husband and I have to. She wants me to love her because I want to. And by the way, I want to. 29 plus years of marriage, still want to. Wisdom may come that way, but it also comes by reproof. Did you ever do something and it didn't turn out quite like you thought it was going to turn out? You know, those famous last words. Watch this. You don't do that again. You're careful with the chainsaw so you don't cut your kneecap off. Amen, Brother Barnes? He didn't do it. I did. Standing there cutting a piece, and all of a sudden the sticks I was standing on gave way. I tapped my knee with the chainsaw while it's running. I took my britches and ripped them. I ripped every bit of skin off my kneecap, and all you could see was a streak of white right there, and never cut the bone. Praise the Lord. I had two teenage boys with me. Brother Barnes left to go deliver a load of wood. I called him and I said, "I just tapped my knee with the chainsaw. Preacher, are you bleeding out? You need me to call 911. I could call you. I could call 911. No, I'm fine. I just let you know I may not be here when you get back, and I'm not going to be cutting anymore. I'm done for the day." Fortunately, I took some extra clothes and I was able to get everything patched up to get home. And everything was fine. Now, can I tell you something? I learned don't cut your kneecap with the chainsaw anymore. I only did it once. Praise the Lord. I had enough sense not to do it again. I think. That's why I sold my chainsaw and bought a house that doesn't have to burn wood. Amen? Wisdom wants to be wanted. Wisdom has this desire to be wanted. I got to hurry. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 1. I'm going to read several verses here. We're going to read the first 7 verses. I'm going to read quickly. You follow along. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice with understanding, if thou seekest her for silver and searchest for her for his treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Number 3, wisdom has to be searched for like gold. Wisdom has to not only be wanted, but it has to be searched for. God doesn't just let wisdom pop out of the ground and you pick it up and say, "I got it." Did you know gold just doesn't lay on the ground everywhere? And let me bring you into a world of thinking that's contrary to what everybody in the world, science and religiosity, that's a big word, isn't it, has taught you. People in the Bible didn't live in stone houses. They doing okay? How did they get all their gold? They had to mine it. How did they get their steel? Their iron? They had to get it the same way we did. They had to make furnaces and burn it and try it. They had to melt it. They've been doing that for 7,000 years, folks. Since man has been on the face of earth, said, well, how'd they learn that? God taught Adam in the Garden of Eden how to do it, how to find it. But God didn't make it to where the gold's just sitting on top of the ground like grass growing everywhere. Everybody doing okay? Wisdom needs to be listened for. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. That means this. We're supposed to listen to wise things. We ought to listen to preaching. The right kind of preaching. We ought to listen to wise people. We ought to listen to people that have experienced what we're about to go through. We ought to read the right kind of books. That's listening for wisdom. My daughter, she's in her final year of college, and she has listened for the last 3 years, believe it or not. And she finally, just this summer, just a couple weeks ago, she said, Dad, I'm so glad I listened to you and Mom. My senior year is going to be awful easy. I did exactly what you told me, even though I didn't understand it. I'm starting to catch it now. She only got 9 hours of class this semester. And two of them are an independent study, and one's a piano. So she really only has 6 hours of class. She's as happy as can be. And she student teaches next semester with no classes. And she's done. She was like, this is so easy. I said, I told you, if you push the first 3 years, not too hard, but push hard enough, this last year can go well. And it's going to go well. She said, man, am I glad I listened. I said, I'm glad you listened too. And passed everything the first time. So we are to listen, the Bible says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Folks, listen for wise things. I'm all the time, I listen to preaching almost every day of my life from preachers that are dead. The last generations. Those are the preachers I grew up on. Guess what? It's good enough for them. It's good enough for us now. Everybody doing okay? Number next. Wisdom has to be asked for often. Verses 3 through 5. I'm not going to reread them, but talks about searching for silver, as for hid treasures. The Lord gives wisdom. Out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's not one and done. You don't ask for wisdom one time, get it, and you got it the rest of your life. Wisdom is something, I use this illustration. Wisdom is like when you buy a car. They might fill it up with gas the first tank. But that first tank of gas doesn't last the life of the car. If it is, you're in trouble. You have to keep filling the tank with fuel. Wisdom is there, and as you use it, you have to resupply it. You have to keep getting it. And keep getting it, and keep going back to the gas station, and give them more money. That's exactly what wisdom is. You got to keep going back and getting it. It's gotten and used so that you can get more and use it again. Wisdom is not there to be stored up and not used. Knowledge, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, knowledge puffeth up. That term puffeth up, one of my favorite terms in the Bible. It literally means, if you drove by recently, a deer laying on the side of the road, and his belly looked like a balloon had gotten in there, and his legs are going like this, and it's about 100 degrees out, and you drive by and you go, wow, what was that? And then you come back later that day, and it had popped. And you thought it was bad on the way through the first time. The second time, everybody's gagging. So what happened? That puffing up is exactly what 1 Corinthians says, where knowledge puffeth up. We can get so full of death, as all we do is get, that all the gases in there start bloating everything up full of rottenness. That's why usually, don't get me wrong, it's not totally true, but that's usually why what we call the intellectual crowd are usually dead. Why is it somebody has to be about as dead as last year's Christmas tree before they're smart? You know, some guy's got to talk in words so far above you that nobody understands them. We say, Shazam, they must be smart. Well, sweetie, if you can't use it, what good was it? It may have sounded fancy, but they don't even know how to do it. They have knowledge, but it's all puffed up. We need to ask God for it. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It says here in verse number 6, the Lord giveth wisdom. You say, how do we get wisdom? We seek it. We seek wise advice. Get advice from somebody that's wise. By the way, if advice goes contrary to the word of God, it's not wise. Counsel should match the word of God, not man's cute philosophies. We've got too many preachers out there trying to build churches their way, not God's way. Instead of soul winning, they want to go out and take surveys. Oh, go answer these 37 questions, and we'll take them back, and somebody in an office will look at them and decide which ones of these are the best prospects to go back to first. Well, sweetheart, if you got the door open, plow them with the gospel. It's worth it. I got to hurry. One more and I'll be done for the night. Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse number 10. Oh, my soul. We should read to the end of the chapter. I'm not. I'm just going to read a few verses here. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Now listen to me, and I'll teach you, and then I'll be done here. Wisdom will protect you or prevent many problems in life. Won't prevent them all, but wisdom will protect you from or prevent many problems in life. Look at verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, knowledge pleasant of thy soul, discretion shall what? Preserve thee. That means keep you from rotting. Keep you from destruction. Preserves. You take something that, let's see here, strawberries or cherries or something, and you preserve them. You can them. Put them in jars and cold pack them, or however you decide to preserve them or freeze them. What are you doing? You're keeping them so that they're still viable and usable at a later time without them just sitting there rotting. God says that wisdom will prevent you from rotting. It's in a suspended state to keep you viable, to keep you usable. Verses 11 and 12, wisdom will keep you from evil people much of the time. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Did you know wise people won't hang around fools and evil people? I don't hang around evil. I'm not the wisest person in the world, I get that, but I got enough sense not to be around evil, wicked, vile people. It's funny, you walk out on a construction site and the preacher shows up, the cussing stops in a hurry. It really does. Talking to a feller out there the other day, and he let off a couple. He said, "Preacher, I'm sorry." I said, "I'm not God. Don't apologize to me. Apologize to him." He said, "Oh, that didn't feel real good either." I said, "Well, I'm not God." He said, "No, you're rough." I said, "I didn't say it, you did." He said, "I know, I got to clean up my mouth." And you say, what was that? I don't have to say anything anymore. I just show up. It'll keep you from slander. It gives you the foresight to avoid a lot of situations that would create the opportunity for slander. That's called foresight. Wisdom gives you foresight, but it also gives you insight to fix problems before they become problems. There are times I'll walk into a church service before church, and I'll see two of our young people together that I know aren't going to be able to sit through church without getting in trouble. And I'll say, can you go sit so-and-so somewhere else and tell them, preacher wants you to move. You're not in trouble. I'm doing this to keep you from getting in trouble. They'll move. Say, what was that? Insight. Foresight. Whatever you want to call it. Wisdom keeps you on the right path. Verses 13 through 15. Who lead the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are froward in their paths. Wise people walk in light, evil people walk in darkness. Can I tell you something? Walk with the right people, the wrong people won't bother you. Can I tell you something? If you just got saved or you're coming out of the world in a different lifestyle, the best thing to do is hang around the right people. The wrong people will scatter from you. You don't have to worry about it.
You're right.
They'll peel away real fast. That means you have to walk in the right paths. You don't go to the bar with the preacher. Not real smart, because the preacher ain't going to the bar. Not this one. Now, maybe the priest will, but I'm not. I've been in three bars in my life and preached in all three of them, and I don't want to go back. Two of them I did for a college assignment, and one I did memorial service for a guy who was killed in a motorcycle crash. I had 32 people saved at that one, came and baptized four of them. They drove, left the bar, and came to the church, and I baptized them on Sunday afternoon. Those are the only bars I've ever been into. Verses 16 through 22, wisdom will keep you from the wrong crowd. I'm not going to go into all these verses, but it talks about what the wrong crowd is. You don't walk with people that are people of flattery. People that are going to use flowery words to lift you up and make you feel good only. Not with people who disrespect their parents. Oh, my soul. Verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. If somebody's going to trash their parents in your presence, they ought not be the kind of person that you ought to be around. Say, well, they're lost. Doesn't matter. You don't trash your parents. Boy, that's a good statement. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You don't be around people that go against God. Don't walk with people that go against God. The Bible says, for her house inclineth unto death, verse 18, and her paths unto the dead. Don't walk with those that walk in a, what I call, in death. We're talking zombies. We're talking this death rock. We're talking the goth stuff. Everything's about death. Be careful of it. Be careful of it. That's evil. Everybody doing all right? Verse number 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. Wisdom has you walk with good people. So, wisdom will protect you from many, not all, but from many problems in life. You know, well, I just found myself in the wrong crowd. Lack of wisdom. Lack of wisdom. Wise people foresee what the crowd is and hightail it if it's not looking good. We're going to take several weeks and talk a little bit more about this, but we all need a good dose of wisdom. Let's get it from God and let's do it right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We all need wisdom. Doesn't matter our age. Doesn't matter our level of Christianity. We all need wisdom.